بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ قال إبراهيم رب اجعل هذا بلدا آمنا وارزق أهله من الثمرات من آمن منهم بالله واليوم الآخر. صدق الله العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح يا فتاح يا فتاح. Respected brothers, elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In the past couple of days and weeks, the UK has experienced some level of violence against immigrants, Muslims in particular. And I would like to just share a few words which have been echoed by some of our leading scholars in the UK in regards to this topic. And they mention that the background behind this, we have seen for many decades now that through the war on terror, through the discourse of terrorism, extremism, this has fueled the narrative that migrants and Muslims are the problem. And this has then been taken further through media, where they will have headlines, where they will have hosts on particular news outlets painting immigrants as the issue, overcrowding. And you have people beyond that in more senior positions. You have the Prime Minister, who is going as far as to say that they need to stop Bangladeshis in particular coming to the UK, as they are part of this huge immigration crisis. And you look before this, the previous Prime Minister, and he would describe, you know, sisters wearing niqab as though that they are, you know, letterboxes, and people of African descent, to when they smile, they look like watermelons. So these are huge inflammatory comments which has now set about a particular perception regarding Muslims, regarding migrants. And there are some people from our community in the UK, namely the far right, they have taken this, and what we see now are these riots taking place in Middlesbrough. You have a whole street of these far-right mobs smashing the windows of homes, of cars, and the residents and owners of these properties themselves are perhaps people that are not migrants. They are from a white background. So how do we process all of these things? As Muslims, we're seeing all of this. We're feeling some level of an inferiority complex. We've had a bit of a history in the 70s, in the 80s, where some of our generation, the elder generations, they had to fight off some of the racism, some of the violence that then allowed us to come to this point in this stage where now we are able to live comfortably, to some level of comfort, with our Islamic clothing, with our masajid, with our level of deen, with our practice of, you know, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and to be able to carry it forward with some level of confidence. This has been done so because there were people that came here, they went through the hard work, they went through the difficulty. And some of the youngsters, they will be surprised. A lot of times we don't speak about the stories that took place, but if you go and ask your grandparents, your fathers, that what were the conditions like when they moved over here in the UK, in parts of Tower Hamlets, then you will realize what kind of struggles your parents went through, what kind of difficulties your grandparents went through in order to give some level of safety to their family. So now all of this stuff, how do we process it? My advice today is based on three main areas. And that is, number one, dealing with the reality. Number two, being proactive. And number three, very importantly, is to also be literate about this and to give ourselves, to equip ourselves with some level of knowledge and confidence of how we can understand our context and how we can approach this situation. The first thing is that, of course, there were certain parts of the UK that had faced some very difficult situations. You had the hotel being set on fire which was housing immigrants in different parts of the UK. And you had some attacks that were being reported, incited by far-right hate in Ilford, in Newbury Park. So there are situations around us. At the same time, not every incident that comes onto our screens is directly involved. You had the recent motorcyclist gang on the A406, and this was being shared, you know, like wildfire, to say that this is a far-right mob. They've come, you know, they come to scare us away, sort of thing. But it turns out that this was from a different time. This was from one whole year ago. And it was, in fact, in relation to something completely different. Some of their members of this motorcyclist gang, they passed away in that area, so they just came to commemorate his death. Nothing to do with anything with far-right violence or anything of the sort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us that in Surah Al-Hujurat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَن تُصْبِحُوا أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا نَادِمِينَ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ جَزَاكُمْ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. Allah says, He instructs us that all you who believe, if some news comes to you from a fasiq, okay, from a person who is not known to be of a pious nature, he has some level of sin in his life. So we receive news from all sorts of directions, from all sorts of people. Then what is our duty that we should do? We have to make sure that we verify this news. فَتَبَيَّنُوا. We have to make sure that we know where this source has come from and what is the context of this information before we go around spreading it. Because what has happened, we have already seen from the opposite side. When the incident of the murders of the three innocent girls, when their lives were taken away, this was also what happened, a huge tragedy. And what happened afterwards in terms of these riots was down to this very fact that there were people from that camp, they did not verify this information came from. And they spread the lies to say that this was from a migrant Muslim who has now come to this country. He's not aware of how, you know, civilization works over here, and he just went on a random attack, and to say that this was incited because of his beliefs. But then after a few days, when the, you know, noise came, calmed down a little bit, then he realized that this person, in fact, he was a born, you know, he's born in this country, in Cardiff, in fact, and his parents are from African heritage, and his religion, in fact, is Christianity. But when the verification of this news comes about, then no one is blaming his background, no one is blaming his religion, no one is blaming of where he came from to say that this is now how a whole group of individuals are to be alienated because of this one individual's horrific actions. So we cannot be the same. We cannot do the same thing that they are doing, because what they done, we saw the implications. Now other people are paying the price through the violence, through the rioting, through the, you know, the fires that have been created. Very, very important that when news come, please, please, please do not just start spreading it. Make sure you have verified the information, because you could do a lot of damage. And another thing that's happened is, because we have seen so much information coming our on our screens, it's creating a state of panic. The reality is, if we're talking about Chadderleaf area, there was just this one video, this one individual, he's taking a video of different people of ethnic minorities and Muslims, recording them saying that, look, they've taken over, etc., etc. And he's just walking, he's actually whispering into his phone as he's driving off. Right, the level of cowardice he has. But that's as far as it's been for our community over here. So the reality is, in our own community, there hasn't seemed to be as much of a threat that something is, you know, going to really kick off. But at the same time, the second point being, we will be proactive still. And I'll get to that in a minute. I'm just getting a direction from the back that if brothers can just kindly stand up and see the empty gaps, sit closely together, so that way people that are coming forward, they may find a space. So if you can all just kindly stand up, that way we can reveal the empty spaces, and then just kindly move forward to fill up all the empty gaps. Jazakumullahu khair. Barakallahu feekum. So we do not want to create a state of panic. We don't want it to be a case that people are thinking too many times before they go about their normal business. That's not, you know, that's not If a person wakes up every single morning, there's danger looming around. Every single you walk out of your house, there's always danger lurking around in any sort of situation. Ultimately, this is the qadr of Allah. Everything that happens, happens by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in certain situations, there might be an increased level of threat. So in those moments, fine, we are to be cautious, to be vigilant, and especially the case of our mothers, our sisters who may have to go out for work, then we see, can we do something, can we chaperone them, can we drop them off to their places of work, can we actually drop them off to the stations, or have a way they need to be managed, then we do so in a proactive way, in a way that is dealing with the reality at hand. At the same time, the police have also acted. We have to work hand in hand with the local authorities and trust them to do their jobs. As Muslims, we cannot take the law into our own hands. Of course, by nature, by the description of a believer, he has to be courageous, he has to be brave, and he has to defend his property, his honor, his wealth when it is required. When that time comes, then of course, we will be there, we will defend ourselves, we will defend our places of worship. But at the same time, we have to cooperate and we have to act in a civilized manner, not in a civilized manner, rather in fact, in accordance to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he says, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ وَلِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, that I've only been sent to perfect the excellent manners. When we're talking about proactive, the proactive idea is that we have a long-term understanding. By inculcating the true teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will now show our true identity as a Muslim. Now's not the time to back down. Now's not the time to be fearful of our practice of our deen, our manifestation through our clothing, the sunnah libas. Now's the time to be sure that we are showing exactly who we are. Because at the same time, what we are going to be doing as well, we will display our excellent mannerisms. We will speak in the way that is befitting of a Muslim, of a believer. We will not act in violence. We will not approach innocent civilians and harass them. This is how we should behave. This is our demeanor. Because the non-Muslims, they are not our enemies. You will see, in fact, a clear example of this in Walthamstow just a few days ago. Thousands of people, they flooded the streets because the threat of a far-right march going to take place. And what happened? There were people, Muslims, non-Muslims, all together in one place showing solidarity that fascism is not going to be accepted over here, it's not going to be tolerated over here. Refugees are here, they are welcome. And this is the reality. The far-right, these people, they are only small in number. They're a small minority. Again, moving on, forward. Proactiveness. When we're saying that we have to show our presence in the masajid, ultimately our presence in the masjid should be fulfilled with the pure intention that we are here to fulfill our prayer in accordance to the teachings of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when it comes to prayer in jama'ah, in the masajid, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that this is from the sunan al-huda. This is from the sunnah of guidance. These are some of the heavy, more emphasized sunnah that we really need to adhere to. Men coming to the masjid to perform their prayer in congregation. Of course, understandably, we will be in our places of work, our jobs, and we will not have the time to be able to come. But if we are such that we do have the time, we're sitting at home and we're offering our prayer in at home, then we have to make sure that we are present in the masjid. We are present in number, that we can see that our brothers are here in solidarity. If something was to take place, then we can rely on our community to defend ourselves. It reinforces that level of unity, that brotherhood. But this is a secondary point. The reason why you should come is to perform your salah in accordance to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have to get our intentions correct. So connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because ultimately any type of assistance, any type of help will only come if we are attracting the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through our level of iman, through our level of deen. This is first and foremost. And secondly, this goes hand in hand, I already touched on it earlier, that through our akhlaq we need to have community engagement so we can influence the perception of our own neighbors, our non-Muslim neighbors. They are welcome to see. We have nothing to hide. And one thing that we should not do, I didn't mention, is if we are to be in these types of marches or protests against the far right. We shouldn't incite, of course, any violence, and we should not hide our faces. We should not wear these balaclavas or any face masks, because we have nothing to hide. We are showing that we are part of this country. We are citizens of the United Kingdom, and we have contributed to the economy of this country as well, and we will get to that in a minute. But first being first is we need to avoid any violence, avoid any sort of conflicts, confrontations. We are simply here to defend and simply here to show that we will not compromise. We will not compromise who we are, because the UK has afforded us freedom of religion, freedom of expression, freedom of speech. We are, as you see on the streets in the summer days, the way a person can go out wearing very few clothing, we are entitled to wear more clothing. We can cover our satr in a way in accordance to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has instructed us to do so. It's under the same idea of freedom of speech, freedom of religion. So point before that was community cohesion. We have to show that. Once we're doing so, we have to have amazing akhlaq. So the people around us, they are feeling that level of friendliness from us. They feel that welcomeness. Because what you see in Southport is a example of how we should also try to reach that point as well. That when the far right, they came and they attacked the masjid, the next day, the very people that were supporting the community, they were from the non-Muslims. There were the non-Muslim neighbors. There were people that worked in the glass companies, etc., in the big brick companies, and they offered help free of charge. This is how it should be. We need to build that level of reputation by also showing the people around us our true colors. There's nothing to hide. And the third point being that we have to be literate when it comes to these matters, when it comes to immigration. Because some people, they may say, and in fact there is a public figure who is spouting this narrative, that what do you expect when you have unchecked immigration and people are coming to this country and they're just doing whatever they want, creating chaos, then there's going to be the people, the natives of this country that are going to rise up. Who are the natives of the country, we have to ask? Who are the so-called indigenous people of this country? Because we have citizenship very legally in this, and we are as entitled to the person of white complexion as well. We have as much right in this country as the next person. So we need to get it right. When people say this sort of stuff, you have to understand the history of the United Kingdom. You have to look back post-World War II. They called upon the help from the people of the Commonwealth. They brought people from India, from Bangladesh, to help the NHS because they had a shortage in laborers. So they needed immigration. They were reliant on immigration to get work done. So they called for it. At the same time, if you go before that, beyond this, you should see the different countries around the world, the ruin, the chaos, the poverty. This very empire, unfortunately, has a hand in this. So we cannot simply say that there's zero responsibility in this country for immigration. They do. There is a level of responsibility to make sure those that are suffering in those countries, they have a safe way of asylum seeking, of refuge. So we have to get that right. We shouldn't have this inferiority complex. We have a place in this world as much as I've already said, a person with a white complexion. And we should also use this as a way to connect with our children, our grandchildren, grandparents, because they came to this country off. There is some level of history. You should ask them, speak to them, what did you face? And they will tell you the difficulties. When you talk about partition, India and Pakistan, there are some people still alive that they saw the atrocities. They had to flee that situation. They were on the wrong side of the divide. And who were the ones that were making this divide? Unfortunately, the individuals from the West. Speak about these things. Realize and contextualize your existence in the UK as well. Contextualize your children's existence in the UK as well. And they will feel, okay, there is some history. You know, it gives them some level of meaning to their lives as well. And going beyond in this case of being literate, we have to understand the true facts. And the fact is that we are contributors to this economical system. The British Muslims, they contribute £31 billion to the United Kingdom. £31 billion are contributed by British Muslims. This was also echoed by MEND, which is the Muslim Engagement and Development Charity. In 2016, Muslims in Ramadan, they raised approximately £100 million towards charitable causes in just 1 month. This is who we are. This is the true facts. If you talk about the NHS, doctors, they make up 26%. 26% from Asian backgrounds, Indian, Pakistani, Bangladesh, and other countries. We have British Muslim businesses, 13,500 of them. They have created 70,000 jobs. These are the true facts. This is who we are. We have a place in this world. We should not be inferior. And at the same time, we should be confident of our identity. And this identity we should show with good akhlaq, good mannerisms, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the same time, being brave to work with the local authorities. When it comes to being in the masjid, we have to be present for salah in the first place, not just when it comes to dealing with any threats. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq and understanding of what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanallah bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah, ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah, ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah, hayya ala salah, hayya ala salah, hayya lal falah, hayya lal falah, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illa Allah.
Brothers are requested to donate generously towards the masjid. Alhamdulillah, we have been established for over a year now, and it's a huge difference to have a masjid in comparison to before not having the masjid. It's a means of us to be able to offer our 5 daily salah, something not applicable to many of us. So a huge, huge need for this community. Brothers are kindly requested to donate generously to maintain the costs and running of the masjid. Jazakumullah.
Just a reminder that alhamdulillah for the past few months now, we've been having regular programs for the youngsters. They're roughly aged between 12, 13, 14 onwards. And this has been going on, mashallah. The young brothers, Brother Muhammad and his friends are doing an amazing job. And last week, for example, we had approximately 20 youngsters joining in. And it was about the topic of mothers. And it was very, very... heartwarming session. The young boys, they were contemplating about their own relationship with their parents, and some of the boys, they opened up to our volunteers and they offered each other advice. So alhamdulillah, you know, good things are happening in the masjid. So mashallah, credit to Brother Muhammad and his friends for giving up their time after Asr to Maghrib. So if you didn't know about this, this is taking place every Friday in between Asr and Maghrib. So all brothers are requested to send their young brothers, their sons, their nephews. Inshallah, it will be very, very beneficial. And food is also served. And mashallah, we have our regular donor who has been supporting us with his monetary contributions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant more barakah in his wealth and grant us all barakah in our wealth so that we can also help build, sustain and develop our communities. Jazakumullah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala al-falah, Hayya ala al-falah, Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illa Allah.
الحمد لله الشاملة رأفته والعامة رحمته الذي جازى عباده عن ذكرهم بذكره فقال تعالى فاذكروني أذكركم ورغبهم في السؤال والدعاء بأمره فقال ادعوني أستجب لكم فأطمع المطيع والعاصي والداني والقاصي في رفعة الحاجات والأمان بقوله فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله وسيد أنبيائه صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه خيرة أصفيائه وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا أما بعد فإن ذكر الله تعالى ورفعة الحاجات إليه تعالى أفضل عبادة تؤدى باللسان بعد تلاوة القرآن فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يقعد قوم يذكرون الله عز وجل إلا حفتهم الملائكة وغشيتهم الرحمة ونزلت عليهم السكينة وذكرهم الله فيمن عنده وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام مثل الذي يذكر ربه والذي لا يذكر مثل الحي والميت وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام الدعاء مخ العبادة وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام ليس شيء أكرم على الله تعالى من الدعاء وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام إن الدعاء ينفع مما نزل ومما لم ينزل فعليكم بعباد الله بالدعاء أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا وسبحوه بكرة وأصيلا الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصهما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حياء عثمان وقضاهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير القرون قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم اللهم أيد الإسلام وأنصاره وذل الشرك وأشراره اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم واخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا منهم اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر جميع المسلمين في كل مكان يا رب العالمين اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى اللهم أعد مسجد الأقصى في رحاب المسلمين عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العلي العظيم يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأعز وأجل وأتم وأهم وأعظم أكبر أقيم الصلاة
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر La ilaha illallah.
استو أقيموا صفوفكم وتراصوا. Can you straighten your rows? Ensure there's no gaps in between.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مسفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام Kind of